Tell you, sure is awful crazy every once in a while. But you know, at the end of the day, it just seems like there's a lot of things going on. I know there's a lot of other prayer requests and things out there. I think of my mom and what she's going through with the valve replacement on her heart, surgery coming up here in another week and a half or so. And you know, sometimes the days get awful long, and I find myself at the end of the day, coming home from work or a long day, and just kind of sitting down in the chair, and about all I want to do is just become a vegetable for a little while. And a while back, my son, I'll blame it on Robert, he's not here to defend himself. My son got me hooked on this game, Ghost Recon. It's a little military game. It's kind of cool. Brother Alter calling right here right now. And basically, it's kind of fun because you can actually get online, and you're a player. You're an actual person. You get to choose your weapon, and you get to run around whatever maps they have, the desert or through a forts or something like that. And you get to play against other humans. So it's all interactive, and it's a lot of fun. And after a long day, I'll be sitting there, and Teresa will be sitting. Now, she's not in here. My wife's spiritual. She sits over in the chair, and she reads something. All right? Me, I'm lazy. I sit there and I play Ghost Recon. That's how I unwind. And so every now and then, we're sitting there and she's sitting over reading her little nook and got her book there, and I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I'll just start giggling. And she'll look over at me and she gives me this quizzical look. And usually, because what's happened is I'm in the middle of this game and I'm here and the enemy is over here. And I know we're around some obstacle, and you know, maybe I went to the left when I should have went right, and he snuck, you know, came up and shot me. And I just kind of laugh about it. It's kind of funny, you know. Haha, he got me. That's a good one. And then once in a while, I'll be sitting there, you know, playing the game and being kind of stealthy, and I think that, you know, everything's going well, and walking down the path or walking around an obstacle, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, somebody pops up, or a shot rings out, or worse yet, somebody hurls a grenade. There's just no escaping those grenades. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, blow up, and my gun goes flying up through the middle of the screen, and the screen turns red, and I'm sitting there on the chair watching this, and all of a sudden I'll just jump. And my wife looks over at me, and she kind of laughs. Then you know, I'll either get a little agitated at myself for getting blown up to bits again, or I'll kind of chuckle at the whole scenario things. And you know, that's all well and good, and it's a lot of relaxation, and it's kind of fun, and all that sort of thing. But you know what? In real life, when you're walking around and the enemy, and maybe you're dueling with the enemy, and you know you're in a battle with the enemy, and then you get shot by the enemy, it's not really that funny. It's even worse in real life when you're walking down, you're walking down the path and you're taking care of your own business, minding your own business, and out of nowhere you seem to get blindsided with something that takes care of you. Did I mess up already? There it is. There it is. Test 1, 2, 3. Test 1, 2, 3. All right. So, it's sure a bummer when this happens in real life. And what we've been going through here as a church, really for quite a while here, is exactly that. I mean, we've been going on with this Christian life, and it seems like summers always get crazy, but I don't remember a time or a summer when you look back and there were so many, just right in a row, serious issues that have happened over and over and over and over again. And that's where we're at. In recent memory, we've had several people in the hospital, and some with, some pretty serious issues. I won't list them all, but just a few. We had Jim Hanks slowly lose a battle and died. We had Kyle, of course, hit very very hard and unexpectedly, and he's still recovering from that. You had Terry, Don's husband,
who was in the hospital a couple times, and there was a couple times there we didn't think he was going to make it. Praise the Lord, he's pulled out. But you had Dawn Hot. How long was she in the hospital? She was in the hospital what seemed like forever with that infection that she got. You had Nancy Grimmer with her back surgery and the complications and the different things that she went through. And there were, you know, there were others. Like I said, I won't mention everybody necessarily, but now we have Ian. Now we have Ian lying in the hospital, and of course, my wife and I went to see him on Sunday afternoon, and he's sitting there. He's got a patch over one eye because he's got double vision, you know, from the effects from the brain, from the brain surgery. I mean, he's got a tube in the back of his head draining out. They were kind of joking about it, draining out brain fluid is what they called it. But you know, you see, here's a 17-year-old kid lying there in the hospital having cancer of the brain. That's pretty rough. That's pretty rough. There have been things that have happened here in this church that I certainly do not comprehend. There have been some of you have gone through things that are far above my little brain's ability to comprehend and to understand. I've watched loved ones and friends fail in the Christian life. And I know that failures are bound to happen. But brethren, I just know this. I know that the enemy that we're facing is out in full force. And we're getting hit an awful lot on just about every side and from a lot of different angles. Sometimes by surprise. Sometimes we're not surprised. We're just not necessarily ready. But we're getting hit by that enemy on a pretty regular basis right about now. And listen, one by one, one issue by one issue, one argument by one argument, one failure by one failure, one trouble by one trouble, one discouragement by one discouragement, one disease by one disease. Listen, the devil is sitting back and a bunch of us are just kind of getting picked off and getting sniped at and going through things. And that's where we sit. And brethren, it's not like the game when you're sitting down on a computer and you play things and you get caught by surprise and you get blown to bits, and that's kind of funny. But I mean, what we're going through and what we see happening here is not funny. It's real. And we got people that we care about, people we love, people that mean a lot to us going through things, and then there's times where you yourself get hit with something like this. And I just like to say here, and I just got, four quick things. Hopefully it won't take too long, and that never works when I say that, but I am going to make an attempt to make this relatively brief. But I just like to say this, that, brethren, how you go through those surprise attacks and how you face those lost battles when you know that the enemy is around, folks, that's going to determine what kind of a church we have here in the next 5 to 10 years. How you handle these surprises as they come up in your life are going to really be, that's going to determine what we as a congregation are like 5 years from now. Because, brethren, we're going through stuff, and it's either going to break you, or the Lord's going to see you through it. You're either going to endure. You're either going to take it with the right attitude and the right way and take the right steps to come out of it victorious and successful, or somebody somewhere along the line, someone else, unfortunately, is going to take it the wrong way. They're going to get hit with the wrong set of troubles, the wrong set of circumstances. They're not going to handle it in the right way. And listen, this whole congregation could look completely different in 5 years. And brethren, right now, here today, this year, we're at a juncture where it's going to take all of us being aware, being alert, staying close to the Lord Jesus Christ, and handling these problems as they come up in the right manner if we're going to make it through. That's just the way it is. We can't afford to handle things in the wrong fashion. We can't afford to look at problems when they come, especially when there are problems. We can't afford to turn our back on them or or deal with them inappropriately, because 5 years from now, we won't be here. You won't be here. I won't be here. Somebody next sitting next to you won't be here. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, if you will. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, take a look down in verse 12. And this is the verse I want you to think about here tonight. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, it says this. It says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Let's bow our heads real quickly for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, once again, we come before you tonight. Lord, again, I'm going to try to make this brief and try to make it quick, but the truth of the matter is we need your help. There's a lot of things going on down here, and there's a lot of ways that the enemy has tried to attack folks here in this church. And Father, the only hope that we have of surviving this is with the Lord Jesus Christ, with this book, and with the principles that you can teach us. So I pray that you bless what we're going to hear this evening. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Philippians 1:12 says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things, and that's what it is, it's a bunch of things. Brother, it's a bunch of things. It doesn't have to be any one particular thing in mind. It's a whole bunch of different things. It's disease. It's brain cancer. It's Alzheimer's. Right? It's a failed marriage. It's a teen getting discouraged. It's a teen going to the world. It's a son. It's a daughter. It's just a bunch of things. But I would, ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." So tonight I just want to preach a little bit about the things which happened unto me. And this is not a woe be unto me session. It's just a list of four simple steps that you need to take when you're faced with, well, things. When things come up and they hit you, they're just four little steps you need to take. Four little steps that you need to take and be aware of and keep in mind when you go through things. Philippians 1:12, it says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." The first action that you need to take is simply to step back. And when things happen, listen, you need to analyze things. You need to analyze things. Now, a lot of times, our initial reaction when something happens in our lives is to, rant, rave, yell, scream, pout, blame somebody else, hide from it. Whatever we do best. When things happen, but the truth of the matter is, things are going to hit you. And some of these things, I mean, think about Ian, right? Some of these things are going to be pretty tough to deal with. But if you're going to be here in 5 years, you're going to have to deal with them. Listen, you're going to have to analyze things. And you know what the biggest question that we have is when those things hit us? We want to know why. We want to know why. Why did this happen? Why me? Why her? Why him? Right? Why my mom? Why my dad? Why my son? Why my daughter? Why my next door neighbor? We want to know why. And a lot of times, we struggle with that. Why? I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden, in Mark 15, it says, "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Did I say in the garden? I mean on the cross. But why did it happen? Everybody, we want to know why. Even the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, still, one of the thoughts that ran through his mind is, "Why have you forsaken me?" And sometimes you'll know why. I mean, sometimes you'll be able to put two and two together, look back at your life and look at different circumstances, and you'll be able to, come up with some things and say, "Oh, okay, I know why this is happening." All right? Sometimes you'll be able to do that. Maybe it's your failure. Maybe it's somebody else's failure. Maybe you look at this thing and you realize it's just a trial the Lord's putting you through to strengthen you. But sometimes you'll be able to determine why. But most often, you're not going to know. Most of the time, brethren, you're not going to know why. Remember, remember Job. Remember all the turmoil that he went through, all the trials, all the ups, the downs, and, you know, 42 chapters, right? And you got that whole thing going on. And as Brother Stephen so aptly reminds us, you know what? The Lord, as far as we know, never did go back to Job and explain why. He never did explain why. So you're going to have to analyze things, and when something happens, when one of these particular things happens and you're caught in the middle of it, you're going to have to analyze it, and you're going to be asking the question why, and you just need to remember that while on occasion you may know why, most of the time, you're probably not going to know why. And that's hard to take for us. And that knocks a lot of people out of the race right there, because they don't understand. And they can't get over that. But have it set in your mind that, brethren, you're not going to know why. It's only natural to want to know why, but sometimes there's just no answer. So you sit back, you analyze this thing, and either you do or you don't know why, but you know, the next part of your analysis should be very simple. And this is where another area that stops a lot of us. What am I supposed to learn out of this? What am I supposed to learn out of this? All right, Lord, what do you want me to learn? What do you want me to learn? You know where most of us go? A lot of times it's real easy. A lot of us try to figure out what somebody else should learn. You know, a lot of us sit back and we look at things that happen, especially if they happen to somebody else, and a lot of us sit back and you know, it's a human thing. It's kind of a self-defense, and you want to, you know, keep yourself intact. You look back, and it's real easy to point out what somebody else should have learned out of their mistake and the thing that happened to them. But brethren, you look through, you know, you look through this, and like I said, you look at Ian in the hospital with cancer. All right, if we're going to survive as a congregation, if we're going to survive as a church, if you're going to survive as a Christian, you know what? I need to ask, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to learn out about what he's going through? What am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? Analyze it. All right, Lord, what, you know, and there's a whole list of things you could come up with. I mean, you know, you could check yourself on your compassion, on your, you know, on rather your prayer life. You could check yourself on, you know, do I really put others' needs in front of my own? There's a whole lot of things, but you got to approach this thing and analyze it and say, Lord, what do I need to learn? What do you need to learn? It's easy to focus the shift on somebody else, but brethren, we've got to keep that thing in. Lord, what do you want me to learn based upon what's going on in my life and in everybody else and everything that we're going through together? Because if you miss that, you'll miss the whole reason for the Lord allowing some of these things to happen within a congregation. And you know what? If half the congregation misses it, guess what? We got to go through it again because half the people didn't learn what they were supposed to learn. I'm not saying it's your fault that, you know, we're going through this. I'm just saying, brethren, even if it's not us going through the trial, there's things we are supposed to learn out of this. Right? Maybe I need to learn through all this how to be a better encouragement to the person sitting next to me. Maybe I need to learn out of this whole thing just how much somebody else may be counting on me and you know, how I can help uplift them. There's all kinds of things I need to learn. But brethren, when things happen, you got to sit back and analyze them. And yeah, you're going to ask why, and you may or you may not get an answer. But the next thing you need to ask is, okay, Lord, what do I need to learn out of this whole thing? It's real easy at this stage, like I said, to pick apart one another. It's real easy at this stage when something goes wrong, it's kind of painful or maybe unsavory or maybe hard to deal with. It's real easy to look for somebody to blame and to try to get angry at somebody else. It's real easy to look and try to put the blame and shift the focus and lose, you know, your Christian charity because somebody else, maybe they did make a mistake. But brethren, Galatians 5 says this. It says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of another. See, this is where the Lord has taken us as a congregation. These are the things that we're facing. This is what we're going through. This is what we've had hit us over and over and over. And brethren, whether we're here in 5 years or not, whether you're here in 5 years or not, is going to be determined by how you handle it. Now, there's no reason all of us can't be here. There's no reason all of us can't, you know, pass this test, learn what we're supposed to learn, move on to the next thing, and the Lord steps back, and as he did with Job, looks at the devil and says, see, I told you my servant would do just fine. Amen? That's where I want to be. But I got to figure out what he wants, you know, what he wants me to learn. I was going to write that on the board. All right? Just pretend I wrote it on the board. Analyze. First thing you got to do, you got to analyze. When things hit, you got to set back. Oh, Lord, what's going on? Why? What's this all about? What am I supposed to learn out of this? Not jump all over and try to blame somebody else. All right? You got to analyze. You have to analyze what are you supposed to learn. And we miss that. It's easy if the thing doesn't concern me directly, not to worry about it. Because I can avoid maybe some conviction. I can avoid the Lord dealing with maybe one of my weak areas. Because it didn't happen to me, I don't have to worry about it. You got to sit back and analyze it. The second thing, and again, I'm going to try to hurry up. The second thing that you need to do after you analyze the thing is, brethren, you need to be able to accept it. You need to be able to accept it. Romans 8:28 is hard to put into practice sometimes. Romans 8:28, as you know, says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love, to them who are called according to the purpose, to them. My brain's dead. It'd be better if I just tried to quote it rather than read it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know, that's a real easy verse to quote. Well, besides me stumbling with it just a second ago. That's a real easy verse to quote. It's not easy to practice. It's not easy to practice. I was talking to Ian the other day. Not Ian Williams, but Ian Larson, you know, my future son-in-law. He's in school, and as you guys know, he's in a PhD program, tough program that he's in, and he's struggling, and he's having a hard time, and he's already got his peers in class who have dropped out and quit because the program was too hard. He's got others who are failing and, you know, may not make it through the program, and of course he's concerned, he's worried, and he's kind of fretting. He's still young, kind of fretting a little bit. And I was talking with him on the phone about one of these martial arts principles that we teach, indomitable spirit, right? It means no matter what, you keep going. You know, you won't be broken. I will continue on. I will charge, right, no matter what happens. You know, I will endure to the end. It's a good Christian principle. But I was sitting there talking with him about this, and he was a little concerned. And I said, you know what? It's really easy to take a bunch of karate students and teach them a dictionary definition of indomitable spirit, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It's a whole lot different when that thing is happening to you and you're actually being tried for real to actually have indomitable spirit. You see, it's easy for us as Christians to say, you know, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. It's real easy to say that. But when you're in the middle of the trial, and when the trial is you, or when it's your kid in the hospital, or when it's your wife or your husband in the hospital, and you're searching for answers, and the Lord hasn't let you know why, it's real easy. It's real easy not to understand what's going on. Listen, we're pretty good. We're pretty good at dealing with things. We're pretty good at dealing with troubles when they arise. We're pretty good at dealing with problems when they arise. All right, you get your mind focused, right? And again, they're not here, but I'll use the Williams as an example. Okay, what do? We get the report from the doctor after the sports physical. You better go get this checked out. Okay, we go get this checked out. MRI, right? Something growing on the brainstem. Whoa, okay, let's get it checked. It's real easy to deal with the problem. Okay, I'm faced with circumstance A. My options are A, B, and C. Let's see. B seems to be the wisest choice. And we just deal with the problem. Right? Next thing you know, we find out kid has cancer. Whole other set of options. Seriousness factor just jumped up by about 100-fold. Okay, what are our options? We'll deal with it. Okay, let's set up the doctor. Let's go to figure out what's going on. What are my options? I'm going to choose option B. It's real easy to deal with the problem. But dealing with the problem is not accepting the problem. Dealing with the problem just means that you took step A, step B, step C because you had to. There was no other choice. Accepting the problem is, okay, Lord, thy will be done. And there's a difference. See, in general, we're pretty good about dealing with problems. Much harder to accept the problems that get thrown our way. And you and I are going to be faced with accepting problems. We're going to have things. There's going to be things. I don't know what those things are. You don't know what those things are. Some of those things have already happened. We know what they are, but we don't know what things are going to be coming next month or next year. But there are going to be things. And you know what? When those things come, we're going to have to sit back and analyze those things. Yeah, we're going to ask why. Maybe we'll find out. More than likely we won't. We're going to have to analyze. What do I learn from that? What do I learn from it? Lord, what do you want me to learn from this thing? And then, brethren, we're going to have to get to the place where we can accept the things that the Lord has put in our path. And I don't mean just deal with it. I mean accept the things the Lord has put in our path. Whole different category. Whole different category. In Matthew 26, this is the other one. This is what I got confused with at the beginning. The Lord goes away again in the garden, and He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." Like I said, 5 years from now, what is this congregation going to be? 10 years from now, what is it going to be? I'll tell you what, it's going to be the product of how we handle things. And when they come up, we've got to analyze them. Yes. What, where, why, how, all that stuff. But you know what? You and I have got to get to the point where we can accept them. Okay, Lord, this was out of my control. This is something you threw into my path. This is something you threw into the path of, you know, a good friend, a loved one, a family member, whatever. This is something you threw into the path. And I don't understand it all. And I don't know why, and I don't have any answers, and I'm not going to get on my high horse and try to blame somebody because I don't know what I'm doing, but I can accept it. I can get to the point where I go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I don't understand this, but thy will be done." You need to accept the thing. Listen, you'll never gain victory by just dealing with the problem. Yes, you have to deal with it, but you'll never gain true victory if all you do is deal with it. You got to accept it. You got to go to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, this body is yours. My life is yours. My family is yours. My friends are yours. My church is yours. And Father, you've got the right to do anything you want with any of us. And whatever you do, I got the confidence that you're going to do it well and show me what I'm supposed to learn, guide me through it, tell me where to go. But you've got to be able to accept it. Psalm 143:10 says this. It says, teach me to do thy will. It says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good, lead me into the land of uprightness. Sometimes when things happen, we're so lost, the only thing we can do is go to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, okay, Lord, teach me. Teach me how to handle this one, because I don't know. And brethren, that's where we need to go. It's real easy to say, oh yeah, I trust God. All things work together for good. It's real easy to say it. It's a whole other thing when it's happening in real life. So you need to analyze things. You need to accept things. The third thing you need to do when things happen, the third thing you need to do is this. You need to clarify things to others. And that's really what brought me to this. Take a look back in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. That's kind of what stuck out as I was reading through this passage. In Philippians 1, verse 12, it says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." I got to reading through that passage, and that, it just kind of hit me like a brick. And it said, "But I would ye should understand." Listen, once you've analyzed the thing, and once you've learned to accept the thing, you know what you need to do, brethren? You need to go to others and clarify what it is the Lord has done for you. You need to be able to take that thing that's happened in your life and turn it around so that you can then relay to others and encourage them based upon what you found and what you learned out of the whole thing. That's getting to some pretty high ground. Listen, remember, most likely there's a whole lot of Christians sitting around you. They're going to watch when you go through something, and they're not going to understand why you're going through it either. And they're not going to know. And there's a good chance a lot of them may sit back and in the back of their mind, just, we're human. Lord, why'd you put them through that? Well, Lord, why would you do them like that? It's easy to fall into that trap. It's easy to look at it and say, Lord, why Ian? What's he done? And that has a tendency to kind of erode your faith a little bit. Because we say we trust God, but things like this happen and we don't understand, and it's easy to sit back and go, Lord, I don't get it. Why? Well, listen, when you go through things, you analyze them, right? You get to the point where you accept them, and then you know what? You do like what Paul did here in Philippians 1:12. Paul goes back and he says, "But I would ye should understand." He's talking about all the things that were happening to him. Listen, people can fall in their Christian life because they don't understand necessarily some of the things that are happening to you. And you may get the victory over it, and you may come to accept it, and you may, you know, be at peace with God over what's happened. But then there's a responsibility on your part to take that to the next level and make sure that you encourage somebody else because of what you've learned and what you've accepted. And that's what Paul was doing here in Philippians chapter 1. Down to verse 20 it says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Listen, now you're getting on high ground. You understand, listen, it's Paul that was shipwrecked. Right? It's Paul that spent a day and a night in the deep. It's Paul that's been beaten, jailed, cursed, abandoned. It's Paul that's been through all this stuff. It's Paul that right now is in jail while he's writing this, you know, this letter here. It's Paul that's been through all this stuff. And he says, "And the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Paul takes the stuff that he's been through And he goes out and he says, but I would ye should understand. I would ye should understand. Okay, so you're going to make it, we're going to make it here through the next 5-10 years in this church. You know what's going to have to happen? When things happen to you, you're going to have to analyze them. Okay, Lord, why? What's this all about? Maybe you get an answer, maybe you don't. Okay, what am I supposed to learn? You got to be able to get an answer on that one. Okay, you got to be able to figure that out. And then you need to get to the point where you can accept things. You need to get to the point where you don't just deal with things as they happen. You say, okay, Lord, thy will be done. And I will do and go through whatever it is you want me to go through. And then you need to get to a point where you clarify those things to others. Because somebody else is struggling having watched you go through the trouble. And you get all this stuff squared away in your head. You get all this stuff squared away between you and God. And you do like Paul did. You walk in and said, but I would that ye understand. I want all of you to understand that what I went through ultimately is going to further the gospel. And then you got a weak brother or sister who steps back and looks at you and says, whoa, they went through all that. And look, what they're concerned about is the furthering of the gospel. And you strengthen that person sitting next to you. So you got to clarify that stuff to other people. You know, it's good when you make it through on your own. It's good when the Lord takes you through. It's good when you get delivered from some of those things. But don't forget, there's a bunch of other people who are watching who just may stumble over that thing if they don't see that you go through it and then glorify your God because of it. Paul said, I would, brethren, that ye understand. And that hit me. That's pretty good. That's some pretty high ground. And we're going to wrap things up here with one more thing. The final step, and even one degree greater than just to clarifying things, is, you know what? You need to champion things. Take a look at Philippians 1:24. Philippians 1:24 says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Now just take a look at this passage real quick here. Let's go back to Philippians 1:12. Paul says this. He says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preacheth Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add to my affliction, to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Listen, not only do you see God's hand in things, these things as they happen, not only do you analyze them, you ask the whys, right? You ask the what am I supposed to learn? You get to the point where you can accept them, not just deal with them, but you can accept them, thy will be done. You clarify, you tell other people, you make sure that other people are aware that what you've been through is actually been a blessing and encouragement, like Paul did. But then you champion them. You get up there And you know what? You get to the point where you're glad that you went through them. You're glad you went through them. Because you see the effect it's had on somebody else. You see how much it's built somebody else up. And you champion them. You say, Lord, thank you for taking me through that. Lord, thank you for letting your servant, your humble servant, be a part of your suffering in such a way that I was able to be an encouragement and a help to all these brethren around me. You know, it's real easy to be consumed with your own trials and troubles and stuff as they happen. But remember, listen, we are bought and paid for with a price. We're God's. He can do with us as He pleases. He can. And what He does, He'll do well. We may not see it at first. We may struggle with it for a while. That's the flesh, I understand, I know that. But He'll do well. He'll do well. Hey, I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of things that have gone on in my Christian life. I'm still back on trying to figure out point one on this. I haven't even got to the accepting it stage yet. Psalm 40, verse 8 says this. It says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalm 119:46 says, I will speak of the testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. I will speak, 145:5, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. See, brethren, things are going to happen. And some of the things are going to be pretty tough. Some of the things are going to be pretty heart-wrenching. Some of the things are going to be pretty devastating. But what's going to matter is not what type of things get thrown at us. What's going to matter is how we, as a congregation, how you handle the things when they come along. And like I said earlier, as I wrap things up here, brethren, that is going to determine what we are as a congregation 5 years from now. That's going to determine what we are as a congregation 10 years from now. Listen, the enemy can sneak up on us and lob a grenade and blow us to bits. So be it. Lord knows what's going on. The enemy may get the best of us in one of our weak spots or whatever, but you know what? That's not what's going to determine who we are in 5 years. What's going to determine who we are in 5 years is how we deal with it, how we handle it, what steps we take when these things happen. What happens is really, this sounds bad, it's irrelevant. That's just the vehicle that the devil's trying to use to knock us out of the race. The important part is what we do with it. And I've given you 4 simple steps here tonight that you need to apply as these types of things happen. 1, you got to sit back and you got to analyze it. What's going on, Lord? Why? How come this is happening? What am I supposed to learn? And that's the case whether the thing is happening to you directly or to somebody else. And you got to avoid getting into that stage when you're doing that analyzing of, see, I told your brother so-and-so would have that happen to him eventually. That's because he didn't do this, this, this. No. No, don't worry about what brother so-and-so's got going on. You worry about, Lord, what am I supposed to learn watching brother so-and-so go through this? What am I supposed to learn about me watching somebody else go through this? Lord will take care of whoever it is to blame. If there even is anybody. So you sit back, you analyze things. You check, why, what do I learn? And then you get to the point, brethren, you got to get to the point where you can accept what God's doing. You got to get to the point where Romans 8:28 is more than just a nice little plaque that you put on your wall. Romans 8:28 is a reality. And you know what? Whatever that thing is, I know God can do what He wants to do. You got to accept things. And once you've got to the place where you accept the things that we get thrown at us, you got to be able to go to others and clarify them like Paul did. But I would, brethren, that ye understand. I would that ye understood about all the things that happened to me. You got to be able to remember that there are other people watching you, seeing you go through things, and when you get the victory over them, make sure other people are aware. Hey, listen, the Lord took care of me through this. The Lord took all these things that appeared to be bad in my life, turned them around, and wound up using them for good. And you know what? The church is stronger. The brethren are stronger. You know, my kids are stronger. My wife's stronger. I'm stronger. A lot of us have drawn a lot closer to the Lord because we've been through this thing. And people will look at it and go, oh, wow. Well, amen. I don't understand why you think that way, but praise the Lord. I'm glad you do. But it'll give them a source of encouragement when it hits them, and they'll remember how you handled it. And then finally, you take that final step where you get to the point where not only do you just accept and clarify, but you champion. You step out and, Lord, I am thankful that you took me through this. Because had you not taken me through it, I would not be what I am today. This is kind of, you know, I mean, I know that all of us think, oh, this should be a normal part of life and this should happen. But went up to see Ian the other day, sat down there and talked with him. And before I ever even, you know, had a chance to ask about praying with him or anything like that, he pops up and says, could you read something to me out of the Bible? I'm sitting there going, that's a 17-year-old kid. And I thought, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. It's a 17-year-old kid with, you know, a drain running out of the back of his head to get rid of the extra fluid so it doesn't build up in his brain, just come through cancer surgery at 17 years old, hasn't got a clue why the Lord would do this to him. And he pops up on his own, can you read me something out of the Bible? Amen. Amen. So, yeah, we've been through a lot. The devil has, slipped a few sneak attacks in on you. He's thrown us some things that have been pretty hard to deal with. We've seen some people struggle and, you know, at least currently losing the battle in the Christian life. And it's easy to sit back and wonder why. It's easy to fall back and get discouraged. It's easy to fall back and lose hope. It's easy to fall back because you don't understand what's going on and let it slowly erode your faith and slowly erode your confidence in your God. And if we allow that to happen, 5 to 10 years from now, there won't be much left. And I'm not even talking about the number of people sitting in the pews. I'm saying I don't care how many people are in the pew, there won't be much left. But if we handle things properly, again, I don't care how many people are in the pew, what we have will be strong and vibrant, and it'll be close to God, and it'll be a church and a congregation that relies on God and that rests in God and that is strengthened by God. And brethren, that's what we need to become. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we've seen a lot of things happen over the years, and I suppose every generation says this, and every generation thinks this, but it sure seems like things are getting an awful lot worse than what they've been in the past. And Lord, I don't know if that's true, or if we're just more aware of what's going on, or just more involved. Whatever the case is, we need to hold on to you and draw close to you, even more so now, Father, than we ever have. I pray that you give us strength, that you give us hope, that you would teach us the things that we need to learn, and that you'd help us to go through these things as they arise with the right attitude, with the right heart. And Father, that you'd help us to go through these things victorious. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's all stand. We'll sing number 267. Amen, folks. Thank you for being here. You're dismissed. Please remember to please remember to be in prayer. A lot of stuff going on. Yes, sir.
There's going to be a group of guys going out on Nicollet Friday preaching.
Okay.
Pray for
them. What time?
Around noon.
Okay.
Noon to one.
Okay. Pray for the guys going out on Friday. All right, guys. You're dismissed. See you this weekend.